Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here we go, people. What up, America? We've been going for a little while. All right. Coming to you from Tampa, Atlanta, and Portland, Oregon.
Welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Yes, everyone is here and almost accounted for. Obviously, we are waiting for the GOAT, JQ, to make his way, so hopefully he'll wrap up the game. He is presently doing some stuff with the strippers in Gwinnett. So, again, making sure he's doing okay, as always.
He's
going to love it whenever he listens to this, too. So, you know, without further ado,
I've been hanging out in Magic City too much.
The 30th. And we are at the end of the month of August. I appreciate all the prayers, gentlemen. I've made it through an incredible month. My pocketbook is sort of okay, but it's good. I have survived and ready to get this month of September started. Football, college football, pro football, everything is right around the corner, wrapping up. Some baseball. There's a lot of things to discuss. So we had to take a week off. That was my fault, but we're back with a vengeance. So let's check with everyone across the different places. And first and foremost, Rob, I see you representing the Yankees. You were talking about Aaron Judge, but again, How you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm feeling good. We're up 7-2 right now. You know, Aaron Judge hit number 51. Ben Intendi hit a homer. Rizzo hit a homer. Something like that. Starting to get some help back on the in the lineup here. We got to get some help in our pitching unit right now, both for starters and a rotation. But hopefully we can start turning it around here down the stretch here. Looking forward to them getting some of these pitchers back healthy, so to make a run for it here toward the end of the season. But your Braves still right there in the mix and looking good, but. Let's hope the Yankees with LeMahieu leading off and Benintendi second and Judge third and Stanton fourth and Rizzo bat number five. I think I kind of like that at the top of the lineup. But other than that, all is well. Had a cheat meal this evening. Had some Detroit-style deep-dish pizza with some garlic buffalo wings on point. No asparagus tonight.
No asparagus. All right.
Yeah.
No lead is safe with the Yankees, and hope everything plays out too. Rob, appreciate the play-by-play and the definitely description amount of your dinner. Checking in on the West Coast side, Curtis and Gary, how are you guys doing this evening?
Well, for Curtis, he's doing well. Every day is a good day for him. He's hanging in there, fighting a good fight, battling his way through things, and we're hanging in there.
He's fighting, Curtis.
Yeah, he's doing good. He's doing good. We went over the topic before the show, so I'll have his thoughts as well. Probably not – won't be as colorful, but we'll muddle through them.
We appreciate that. Like you said, we're going to check in and see because JQ had some interesting topics. Rob, I love the topic about Russell Westbrook. So I know he's probably seething whatever that came to.
I can't wait for that one. I can't wait for that one.
I was like, whoa. And then, of course, he's going to run late. So, you know, we'll see if he can jump on. Talk about that too. But, gentlemen, without further ado, let's talk about some topics here. And we're going to kick it off, obviously, the Turk is here. You probably can't tell. I'm trying to do my Bill Belichick impersonation. I got the sweatshirt with the sleeves cut off here. So I'm trying to do my impersonation of Bill Belichick. Yeah, we're gonna cut. I don't want to get a Patriots. Somebody's trying to talk to me. It's Larry Surrey's trying to talk to me. But no. Anyway, so yeah, I'm not gonna ever buy a Patriots, you know, hoodie or anything like that. This is the closest you're gonna get. But so let's talk about some surprise teams in the NFL this season. And I'm gonna kick off three. Two is just kind of the third one is gonna be. We'll talk about that in a quick second. But just for me, I'm gonna start off with the Las Vegas Raiders, if you will. And this is interesting because obviously they made a big move in getting obviously Davante Adams. That was a great, great move for them, pairing him back up with his homeboy from Fresno State with obviously Derek Carr. And we're gonna talk about what's happening because, you know, there seems to be a culture shift because you're kind of flushing away everything that happened with the old regime with Mike Mayock. You know, he was supposedly this draft guru and he had a lot of questionable picks. You know, obviously what happened with John Gruden, that whole situation is pretty bad. And now you've got Josh McDaniels, who seems to be obviously a really good head coach from, you know, hopefully you're hoping some of what Bill Belichick's going to rub off on him. And we're going to talk about some crazy cuts because obviously they cut Alex Leatherwood, another draft bust. He was like the first-round draft pick. You know, just every one of their picks that they had, it seems to be terrible. So if you kind of look at what's happening with the new GM, I think it's Eddie Ziegler. So they're trying to, again, remake that roster. So right now, the Raiders, they look like all they need was pretty good coaching. So this is a situation, too. Obviously, AFC South is tough, but I think this is going to be not necessarily surprising in the wake of they weren't talented, but I think it was just more or less like coaching and they're getting talent. And obviously, they've kind of flushed out the old regime, if you will. My second team that I'm going to talk about is the Miami Dolphins, even though I really hate what they did with Brian Flores. We do have to kind of talk about what's happening. They have a lot of talent on offense, right? So you know what's happening with Tyreek Hill. They grabbed him, Jalen Waddle. They have a potential top 10 defense with Melvin Ingram III, Jalen Phillips. They've got a great secondary with Xavier Howard, Byron Jones, and Javon Holland too. So right now you kind of like what's happening with that defense, and you love the coaching staff right now with Mike McDaniels because Mike McDaniels came from the 49ers, and they're going to bring that style of offense that really helps the quarterback. And it's really on Tua this year. So Tua's got to prove that he's the guy. You surround him with a lot of talent, and this will prove to the Dolphins that they have the right quarterback. This is Tua's year. So he's got to prove now if he can kind of make that adjustment because the running game is the best friend. Can he make those throws? I love things like that. My third team is definitely it's a homer pick. It is the Falcons, only because I don't think we're going to be as bad as everyone's saying. I definitely like what they're doing as far as with Marcus Mariota. I'm getting some talent. And, again, everyone's predicting two wins. I think we're going to be better than two wins, if you will. But I know JQ and everyone, you guys can talk a lot of junk. But I do think we were 7-10 last season. I think a lot of games we lost by 7 points or less. And, you know, obviously I just think that we just have a better roster this year. So that's kind of my last homer pick. I was kind of, again, wanted to throw that out there. But I'm definitely – surprise. I definitely think the first teams are definitely surprise teams. Let's go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I'll just start. Of those three, the Dolphins are one of mine, too. I'll just start with that. I totally agree with that one. I think Tua, I look for him to have a big year this year, his third year starting in the league. When you look at the Chase Edmonds and Raheem Mostert in the backfield, Mike Gesicki at the tight end position. When you look at Tyreek Hill in the wide receiver position, they add Teron Armstead. Even though he could be a little injury prone, when he's healthy, he's a heck of a left tackle. And then he already had a solid defense. And I agree. I hate what they did to Brian Flores. But this is a team that I think will finish second in the AFC East, and I think they'll make the playoffs. And, you know, they'll be a team that'll be certainly a tough out. Some other teams that I have in the mix there, the Vikings are another team I think is a team to watch. I still think the Packers will win that division, but I think the Vikings will be close. Matter of fact, I think the Packers will go like 11-6, and the Vikings will go like 10-7 or something like that. It'll be very close, but I think the Vikings finish second in that division and have a chance of being a wild card. When you look at their team, the 1-2 punch of running back, Dalvin Cook, Alexander Mattison, When you look at their wide receiver core and Justin Jefferson, and offensive lines got better. It'll go along with a solid defense. They got Adam Thielen as well. So that's a team that I think will be a watch. And here's another one. I don't think this team is going to make – here's two teams that I think will be improved, but they're not going to make the playoffs. The Carolina Panthers and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think Carolina, Baker Mayfield, I don't look for them to come in there and be great, but I look for them to come in there and be steady. And if they can keep McCaffrey healthy, they got DJ Moore, the first-round draft pick, Ikem Udekwe from North Carolina State. I look for him to be a milestone on the offensive line. Brian Burns is a pass rusher. They got some. They got a really good front four on defense. So I think they will be a team that that I don't think they'll be a playoff team, but I think they'll get better. And the same with Jacksonville. I think Doug Peterson is going to come in there and steady that team. I think you're going to see a progression out of Trevor Lawrence. And then you got Travis Etienne from Clemson by way of Louisiana.
Coming back from injury.
And of course, you know, James Robinson, you know, getting him back from injury. They could possibly have a good 1-2 punch at the running back position. Cam Robinson on the offensive line. Some other players on defense. They're a team that I look to be improved and be competitive this year. But just not quite a playoff team just yet. Some other teams, I think the Saints are going to actually surprise some people. It may sound like a homer there too. I don't necessarily like the trade of C.J. Gardner-Johnson today, but when you look at the depth the Saints have in secondary, they're loaded in the backfield with both safeties and cornerbacks. So obviously it may come down to a cost issue with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. But defensively, they have the potential to be a top-five defense. And if they can keep Jameis Winston healthy, similar to the path they were on last year when he was healthy, they have, and now they have weapons at wide receiver. Man, you saw the wide receivers they had out there last year? Gary and Andre.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you got a healthy Michael Thomas. You got James Landry. You draft Chris Olave. And Marquez Callaway, who was their best receiver last year, showed a lot of promise, but now he's going to be the fourth receiver on the team. So they're now a position of weakness has now become a position of strength. One concern you might have, losing Trevor Penning on the offensive line. Looks like he's going to be out for quite some time. Is James Hurst, getting him back and be starting at left tackle. But they look to be a team that have a chance to really contend, and I think they have a chance to win in the division. Arizona, I think the Cardinals, you're going to see a little bit of the opposite of what we saw to them last year. Last year, we saw them start hot and get cold at the end of the year. I think they might do a little bit of reversal this year. I think they might start a 500 team, but I think they're going to get hot at the end of the year with DeAndre Hopkins once they get him back and Kyler Murray. They got Hollywood Brown at the wide receiver position now. They went out and traded for Trayvon Mullen and get some help at the cornerback position. So this is one of those teams I think could make a surge toward the end of the year. And then last but not least, the Philadelphia Eagles. I think they're the team that's going to win the NFC East. When you look at Jalen Hurst, when you look at the wide receiver positions, they go out and get C.J. Gardner-Johnson to get some help as well. So when you look at this their team right now, you got A.J. Brown at the wide receiver position. And like I said, you got the Heisman Trophy winner from a couple of years ago from Alabama. So they're a team that I look for. So I know I named seven teams. I named a lot, but those are some teams I expect to be better this season.
Well, Curtis and I were talking, and we agree. We thought the Jags, you know, there'll be no playoff, not even close to playoff, but they'll be better this year than they were last year. Another team that we think will compete and, you know, may even win the AFC West is Denver, bringing in a guy like Russell Wilson, what they have around them. He's that guy that just has that it factor. And I think there are going to be games this season within the division that it factor is going to come in handy for Denver, and they're going to give I think it's going to be between them and San Diego, or I'm sorry, L.A. Chargers now. But it wouldn't surprise either one of us if Denver won the division. Right,
okay.
Kurt?
Good stuff. Good stuff. We got Naj on as well, so we always look to hear his impeccable opinion. Naj, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, I don't know, man. Basketball and football are going to start soon, man. So, you know, that's good, man. The baseball, man, I'm tired of baseball. That's all I got to say. What's up, though, y'all? How y'all doing?
We're doing good. Welcome aboard, sir. Really bold move, Curtis and Gary. We're going to let you guys talk about some teams that are going to be a disappointment because there's been some, you know, you talk about the Broncos. That's a pretty tough division because, you know, the Chargers are there. The reigning champs or the reigning, you know, AFC champs, you got, you know, the, obviously the Chiefs are there. So this is an interesting situation too because, you know, you definitely have a dichotomy. And then we talked about how we're thinking that the Raiders are going to prove too. So this is a – that's a pretty bold move. We're going to definitely keep an eye on that division. Very, very competitive. Right now, like I said, I'd love to hear some thoughts because I'm thinking pretty strong about the Chargers with that division. Chargers and the Chiefs may be kind of in the top seat, but – we're definitely not crapping on the Broncos. Having a great pickup like Russell Wilson, you just needed a quarterback, right? They've been lucky grabbing Peyton Manning back in the day and then grabbing another veteran quarterback that they, you know, to kind of see they can take them to the next level. So let's talk about that. And Gary, I guess you can kind of throw a team that you think is going to be a disappointment this season, if you will. So tell me your thoughts on that.
Well, the it's going to be not disappointing for me. It's going to be disappointing for all you Patriot lovers, you know, that think that Bill Belichick is the next best thing to since whatever, Jesus, I guess. But I think the Patriots are going to be last in their division. But the one thing, the one team that I hate to talk about in this category, if the predictions – that Rob just gave out for the NFC East are come to fruition. I think that the Cowboys, it would be a disappointment in that division. I'll put my team in that division. I think it's going to be a disappointing season for Kansas City because I think they're the third best team in that division, in my opinion. And if the Colts end up stubbing their toes, then the Colts could fill that as well. And that's Curtis and I, we agreed on that. But we're pretty confident,
Rob,
in the Broncos being competitive and being one of the top two teams in the West.
Gotcha. Rob, what are you talking about? We'll put a notch up to you, but what do you think about that, Rob?
I totally agree with the Patriots. I think offensively, I think they may struggle a little bit. And, you know, you got to hope that Mac Jones doesn't regress this season. But it's got to be a huge concern when you look at what he has around him. And then when you look at who may possibly call and plays for them, I definitely think the Patriots. I don't know about last in division, but I definitely think they're third. I definitely think the Bills and the Dolphins are ahead of them in the division. The Steelers, and it's hard to bet against Mike Tomlin. It really is. But I am a little concerned about their quarterback position, even though I like what we saw out of Kenny Pickett. I think he was one of the better rookies in the preseason. But that's still a little bit of a concern going into the season with them. So they're a concern for me. And then no offense to Gary and Curtis, I'm concerned about the Cowboys. And I'm concerned about the offensive line now. Tyron Smith being out for probably all the way into December. You're starting tackle. Now, the rookie you drafted from Tulsa, he looked great in the preseason. So you're going to have to hope that he could, you know, hold it down, you know, going into the regular season. But I'm also concerned about the wide receiver position and how many injuries that they have at the wide receiver position. I think if you're the Cowboys, you're going to have a quick, short passing game because you're not sure if the Lions are going to be able to hold, and you're going to hope that you can win with defense. And you're going to have to hope that you see a resurgence in Zeke Elliott. But if you don't see a resurgence in Zeke Elliott, you better go ahead and start turning it over to Tony Pollard pretty quickly, because he's the one guy that's still got the explosion on that team. So a little concern about them and some of the injuries at the wide receiver and offensive line position.
I would agree with that. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Naj, anything you want to add to that?
I don't know. I think we're going a little too far with the Patriots. I do think they'll be better than the Jets. No, they're not going to be great because, I mean, like you guys listed, on offense, they really just don't have many options. But I just think they'll ball control and figure out a way to win enough games to kind of stay out of the cellar. Miami, I'm really high on Miami. I think they're going to be explosive. I think they're going to run the ball in a way that that most people are not expecting, because they're so, you know, so focused on Tyreek Hill and, you know, the passing game. I think people are going to be surprised what Mostert and Edmonds are able
Edmonds,
to get the running
game.
From that 49ers scheme.
Yeah.
Then, like, the things that I'm kind of worried about are Washington. I think we could see the Commanders be, like, historically terrible and Carson Wentz flame out in a way nobody would have predicted 3 years ago, where, you know, you remember the conversation, oh, is Dak better or Carson Wentz better? I think Dak won that fight. Next year, I think we're going to see some really bad things in Washington, and they may be pursuing a quarterback, and Carson is going to be on the clipboard patrol from year to year and going to different teams. I think that's what we're going to see, which is going to be surprising. Now, the Chargers, of course, are loaded talent-wise, but they are the Chargers, and they find ways to do things that don't make sense. You remember all the fourth down calls last year, and I just feel like they're gonna be the ones who suffer from Denver making that acquisition of Russell. Because, remember, their receivers are really good. Like, Denver has really good receivers. So Russell is going to be fine spreading the ball out. Javonte Williams running the ball as the new back. And then the defense isn't bad, plus the home field advantage of Mile High. Yeah, so I'm big on Denver too, but I'm definitely big on KC. Shout out to my 100-catch Juju Smith-Schuster prediction for this season. So, yeah, I'm big on the Chiefs.
100 catch. Okay,
wow.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Juju.
Wow.
That's good stuff. Yeah, Juju. Okay, yeah, we'll see. I like it. I was going to say just my one team that I know they used to be the darling last year was the Arizona Cardinals. You know, we're still kind of, you know, even Kyler Murray got the extension. You're hoping that he kind of, again, he's mature, because there are some definite comments about him being lack of maturity and whatnot too. So we'll see as far as the Cardinals, how they're going to definitely progress. And, you know, the Hopkins injury is a lot bigger than we thought. Speaking of the next topic, we're going to talk about a perfect segue. Naj, you talked about the expectations for Chase Edmonds as the running back number one for the Dolphins. And yeah, I'm going to just really briefly talk about that, because you nailed it on the head. I mean, that system that Mike McDaniel was going to bring in, he came from the 49ers, that same kind of one-cut zone blocking scheme. He's a perfect back for this. Obviously, they saw that in Arizona. Speedy, big, you know, kind of a good one-cut type of situation. Even though, like I said, he wasn't really in that system before, but he has the capabilities. I know they studied a lot. Mike McDaniel was actually happy to have him. He has Moffitt, as the backup, just in case Chase can learn. But this guy is definitely tailor-made. And I feel like almost any running back is going to be successful. And I'm not saying that anyone, but I'm saying that if you can kind of, again, hit the hole, have that one cut, you're going to be successful in this offense too. So just more or less, we've been seeing some third-round, seven-round picks do some crazy stuff too. But that's just a great scheme that they have. I think this is going to be a great year for Chase Edmonds for sure, because he just has everything, you know, that you're looking for: speed, perfect size, and just kind of the, you know, the vision to do some damage, if you will. So that's my two cents on that. I don't know if you want to comment on that, Curtis, Gary, Rob, and then kind of pack around to Matt again, if you will.
I would say that his ability to catch out of the backfield too, you know, that's the big thing. He's got good hands, so that would be something that's a good fit. I agree with everything that you said there.
Yep. Yeah, I think Andre, you covered it well. You know, bringing that 49er running scheme, you know, over to them. I mean, they like to have a good depth at running back, and you're going to see both of those guys get a lot of touches this season. They're going to pound you, and they're going to try to hit you over the top with Tyreek Hill. And so it's going to be interesting. They're definitely a sleeper team. I know the AFC is loaded. I definitely think this Dolphins team is a playoff team. I still got the Bills ahead of them, but this Dolphins team can be scary good as well.
Good stuff. Naj, you got anything to add to that as we kind of put a bow on that topic?
Well, if Sony Michel doesn't sign anywhere else, just try to always stay on the waiver wire looking at what Miami does because, yeah, that system produces a lot of production, but it also gets you hurt. So, third and Edmonds, one of them is going to miss time because this system is just so I don't know what to say about it. Like, you can go just look at the 49ers list over the years, man, just see the destruction. Like, Sony Michel or somebody off the street is going to play a significant role on that team because one of these running backs is going to get hurt from so many of those carries that we talked about with that system. And then I would say watch for how they kind of separate the carries. Are they going to concentrate on Mostert being the inside guy and Edmonds being the outside guy? And what does the defense do with that? So if they see Mostert, they know inside, they see him, they see that. So, you know, see how they play that part out. But, yeah. One of those guys is going down. Be prepared.
Interesting. Okay.
Going down.
Good
for
stuff.
You.
Let's talk. Let's talk about a pretty interesting situation with Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers. So the topic, Rob, you put, does this mean that the 49ers have lack of trust in Trey Lance? And I'm gonna say no at this juncture because there's been some crazy reports out there because. There's not a lot of stuff we believe that comes from Kyle Shanahan, but I actually believe this, that he said that Trey Lance likes having Jimmy in the building, and maybe that's because, again, maybe he is a steady in presence. And now, granted, you know, John Lynch was kind of effed up a lot of things because basically he kind of told teams that he had an offer of 2 second-round picks, you know, but whatever that was, and there's some challenges with that. And then if you look at some cuts today, I want to say they gave they didn't plan it because they gave their backup, or Nate Sudfeld, like a $2 million guaranteed contract in March. They cut him today. So it's a situation where you're like, what? They weren't expecting to have Jimmy G on the roster. So it's a very interesting situation, and I think they were trying to keep a little bit of familiarity just in case something happens to Trey. I think Trey is the guy, but Jimmy's kind of there. And it's not like Jimmy's, like, crazy good. It's just like, hey, just in case. It gets a little challenging. They really don't want to go back to Jimmy. They just wanted to have a fail-safe, if you will. That's my thoughts on the situation, too. But I'll let you kind of talk about that, Rob, and your thoughts.
No, I agree. I mean, you know, every team needs a decent backup quarterback, right? And, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, it obviously there wasn't a team out there that was interested in trading for him to be a starter right now. And so if you're the 49ers, you know, the only thing you can do is to keep him on board as a backup. And to see, you never know what happens during the season, right? Obviously, you want to give Trey Lance an opportunity to be healthy for the full season, to be your starter and help develop and grow. I mean, there were some things that I really liked what I saw out of Trey Lance in the preseason. Obviously, there were some things that you saw that say, he still needs some experience. He still needs some reps. But I think he's a guy that this team, I think, is going to live and die with. And they may have to go through a little bit of growing pains, but the one thing that Trey Lance has to his advantage, that 49er roster is loaded. And when you look around, you know, Fred Sanford, you know, back in the day said, look around you. You got a gold mine, you know. And so if you're Trey Lance, you got to look around you and say, hey, I got a gold mine here. And because this roster is loaded, you got a good offensive line. You got Deebo Samuel. You got a good defensive line. So right now, if you're Trey Lance, you just want to manage the game, be smart with the football, and you're going to be in games just because of that roster. And like I said, as Fred Sanford said, look around you, son. You're sitting on the gold mine.
You big dummy.
Well, I'm going to go with what Curtis says. Curtis said, you know, yeah, they want they want him in there as a insurance policy with the, you know, with see what this new quarterback's going to do. If he's not doing it, they'll yank him and they'll put Jimmy G in there. My thought process on that is no. I think they're going to run with this kid. I think that they had a belly full of Jimmy G and, you know, the hype that came with having Jimmy G there. And I think that they're – you can't trust – you're right, Andre. You can't trust what Shanahan says.
Yeah.
I think if they had if they would have had a decent offer, and I think a second-round pick is more than a decent offer, I think they would have taken it. I think the reason why he's here is because that's probably what they didn't have, is they didn't have that offer. And they want to, they want to make it sound like, we just turned down this offer. You know, and I don't think that's the case. If he does get cut, the team at some point, Jimmy G, the one team that he would probably end up going to, in my opinion, would be the Seahawks. He desperately needs something at that position. That would be my take on it. Curtis didn't think so. He thinks he's here for an insurance policy. I think he's here for the time being, and if they could get something out of him, they will, or they'll end up releasing him.
That's tough trading the division. Yeah. That's tough trading within the division, though, obviously. Whew. I know we got JQ on the line, too. So JQ is back. We'll let you answer Naj, and we'll JQ. Go ahead, Naj. You got Naj on JQ.
JQ, how many innings have we played? 18?
Say what? I had to help break down and get something to eat. Fucking baseball, minor league baseball, it sucks. Sorry, go ahead, Naj.
This is classic smartest man in the room syndrome. So not only does John Lynch suffer from this disease, also Danny Ainge suffers from this disease. He's not comfortable pulling off a trade unless he feels like he pulled your pants down, tricked you, and everybody gets to look at the intelligence of him for pulling off this lopsided trade. I think he found out there were no takers for Jimmy G. The quarterback carousel this summer wasn't as extensive as people thought. And once the musical chairs was over, when Baker sat down and a couple other people sat down, it was over. So this idea that he was offered 2 seconds is not only ridiculous, I don't think he ever got the offer of a second. We're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. So if you're Seattle and you're Pete Carroll, you're saying, is Jimmy G a little better than Geno Smith? Yes. Is he $17 million better than Geno Smith? No. So I think everybody looked at the market, looked at who Jimmy G was, and was not willing to make an offer. Now John Lynch tried to put, you know, lipstick on a pig and tried to present it as, well, this is the process. You see, you want the young boy with the old desperate man breathing down his neck for his job. Like, no, you never want that scenario. So I just think he messed this up. John Lynch has kind of got to wear this.
I don't know. I look at it like this. If I'm convinced that Trey Lance is that dude, I don't want Jimmy G on my roster at all. I don't need the locker room to be looking like, well, do they believe in him or not? If I believe Trey Lance is that dude, I'm going to take what I can get for Jimmy G, and I'm going to move on, because if I feel that good about Trey Lance, then I don't want to court those kind of problems. The fact that they took it this long and they kept him on there, I'm sorry. A preacher believes that the Shanahans and John Lynch don't feel like Trey Lance may not be able to do it this season. Not that he can't do it season 2, 3, and beyond, but a piece of them looked and said, yeah, he showed us some flashes, but we don't know what his work ethic is like. We don't know what he grasps and the questions he asks. And sometimes, yes, there are stupid questions, and maybe he was asking too many of them, and they was like, you know what? We ain't trying to get fired. This dude don't make it the first season. I got me an insurance policy that knows this whole offense. I can slide him in week 5, and maybe we can still make the playoffs. So I look at it as a different angle. Yeah. If you believe that Trey Lance is that dude, that he showed you enough to be that guy, I don't want Jimmy G on my roster. You can give me a bag of balls and some golf tees. I'm going to say, here, take this dude, because I got the dude I want on my team. I worry about what Trey Lance is showing them and how they feel about him to have that, because now every week you've got a young quarterback looking over his shoulder. You don't want that. Hmm. But And that shows you what I think that they thought when they saw him. It was like, he may not be ready. We have to have this insurance policy. So I have to go a different way. I feel like he hasn't sold the masses in the front office and the coaching staff yet in San Francisco. They know that he can be that guy. I just don't think they're so that he can be that guy all 17 weeks this year.
Yeah.
But insurance ain't supposed to be that expensive. His cap number is too high for insurance. This is like the dude that buys the Bentley and is driving around on liability. Like, somebody has to take that car from him. He don't know what he's doing. Like, it's just too – like, dog, John Lynch, I've been trying to get that dude smoke for years, man. But this is my finally time to catch John Lynch. I caught him with his hand in the cookie jar. Y'all ain't gonna let me – y'all ain't gonna let him get away, man. I'm
gonna go. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, JQ makes some really good points there, too. But, you know, if you do get rid of Garoppolo and you just get draft picks in return, I mean, your backup quarterback is Brock Purdy.
That's not a pretty situation.
Yeah, but
that is
not a pretty situation. No, but if he's that guy, if he's that guy, you know, there's not a whole lot to talk about. Like, Dallas believes that Dak Prescott is that guy. They got Cooper Rush as their second quarterback. They don't give a F about that second quarterback because they feel like he ain't ever going to play unless – the world comes to an end and something stupid happens again, like with his ankle. If you're San Francisco and you spent that draft capital to go get Trey Lance, why would you want to have Trey Lance looking over his shoulder every week saying, am I doing enough to make sure that they believe in me? Because they kept this dude on the roster because why would you do that? That's why I said that. You drafted me because you felt like he wasn't good enough, and now you kept him. You mean that I'm not good enough? I just don't know why you would do that to a young quarterback. If you felt he was that dude, you get what you get from Jimmy G. You just move forward.
Really quick,
Dallas
JQ,
going all in on
that.
Dallas is going
to
cut all their backup quarterbacks. They cut Cooper Rush and Will Greer. Dak Prescott's the only quarterback on the roster right now.
We're cutting you, but don't move out of your apartment, your condo. We're going to call you back in a couple
weeks.
You know what I'm saying?
Because you can get Cooper Rush back. You can get Brock Purdy back. That's my point. If you feel like he's that guy, listen, the Bengals have Brandon fucking Allen as the backup quarterback. He's hot trash. You know why they're like, we got rid of the damn bugaboo with Burrow the first year. He's good. He's our dude. I don't need anybody here to think they can kick him out of this spot. We don't even want to have that be an issue in this locker room. I just don't know why San Francisco does that if they're sold on Trey Lance. That's my point.
They're not sold. They're not sold.
John Lynch
messed
it up.
I mean, I think we all agree.
He messed it up.
We all agree that he's not sold on Trey Lance because he's just a young guy, man. You can't say stamp my ticket. I'm putting all my eggs in this guy. You know that's why he signed. But thanks for stealing our thunder.
They just had no offers for Jimmy G.
In a playoff game, throw the ball five times. Why are we acting like we don't remember this?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
He's Matt Jones incarnate. No, I'm joking. Go ahead.
That's an indictment on Aaron Rodgers. That's an indictment on Aaron Rodgers, but that's a conversation for another day.
Again, thank you for stealing our thunder. We were so excited to talk about Cooper Rush and Will Greer, being cut by the Cowboys. Obviously, we know that they're probably going to sign Cooper Rush. We were just so excited to get Gary. You guys, who's your quarterback? You guys have no backup quarterback, man. So we were waiting to give that to you, Gary. But we're going to come back because you can't use that argument anymore. Cooper Rush is no longer on the team, at least for a couple.
My
of
bad.
Hours. We'll come back to that. We're gonna come back to that too because I want to hear Gary's thoughts. And JQ, we can't wait to hear you talk about Jeannie Buss and her comments about Russell Westbrook. We're gonna get to that definitely for sure. Rob, really big move. Eagles acquiring Chauncey Gardner Johnson from the Saints, and they release in kind of a two-part process. They release Anthony Harris, their starting safety of the Eagles. There's word in the street that when I was reading this that. Chauncey Gardner is going to actually play safety. I don't know if that's the case, but that's kind of what they were saying. But you talk about an interesting move that happened. If you're the Saints, it's like, man, I think you got reamed on this one. I apologize about that. It wasn't a good move for the Saints. Obviously, you couldn't get that extension, but you knew about the situation, so I'll let you kind of have the floor, Rob.
Yeah, obviously, as a Saints fan, I don't like the trade either. I mean, especially what we got for him, a fifth rounder and a sixth rounder. And obviously, he was a nickel cornerback. Now, put it in perspective, the Saints are loaded in the secondary right now with Marshawn Lattimore. Paulson Adebo has been a flat-out stud. And Roby, the Ohio State guy, JQ. So when you have them, and then you draft Alante Taylor in the second round from Tennessee, so they're flat-out loaded, and they loaded at safety, too. So they had room to make a trade. But still, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, boy, he was an impact player as well, so you hate to see him get rid of him. He wanted to be paid like a top safety. The Saints didn't envision him in that category just yet. You know, he wasn't a starting safety for the Saints. They looked at him as a nickel corner, not a starting corner. And so they made the trade. The Eagles, I believe, are going to start him at safety, and that's why they released Anthony Harris. Like I said, I hate the trade because he was an impact nickel corner for the Saints. But the Saints do have some depth at the secondary to kind of offset it a little bit. But, hey, if you're going to make the trade, man, you got to get more than a fifth and sixth rounder for them. I'm sorry.
Finally,
I would agree
came to. Go ahead, Gary.
No, I would agree with what Rob said. I think that Saints secondary is loaded. But that's a bad move. Not enough.
It's terrible. He must have walked into the office and just turned over the desk and start pissing and breaking glass. Like, why would you make that move? Even if you just keep him for this year and have the threat of keeping him on a franchise tag and let him play and increase the trade value. Like, I don't know if Saints just might be known that they just didn't like that dude no more and they was ready to move on. That's why they didn't resign him. I agree with you. As good as he is, even if you know that I can't keep him, there are plenty of needy teams that need cornerbacks in the passing league. You got to get more picks than that. I don't know.
Yeah, this is finally the bill comes due. Look, when you know your cousin who calls the power company every month and puts down the minimum he has to pay, eventually the bill comes due. The Saints are the greatest salary cap manipulators in the NFL. Shout out to them for getting away with it. Go look at that Taysom Hill group.
Well, I can't.
This was
I
a situation where they just financially they had to figure out something. That's why they were able to accept the minimum. This is a fire sale. This is that same cousin of yours going to the pawn shop with his PlayStation. Like, yeah, eventually this is going to catch up to you. Hurry. So Andre, you know I'm not lying with this. Like, the Saints have been famous for this. And honestly, there are other teams who should take classes from the Saints on how to kind of circumvent the cap because they've done a good job of it.
It's all Kai Harley. And, you know, what's the general manager name for the Falcons who came from the Saints?
I can't think
Fondo?
Of right
Terry Fondo, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, Terry Fondo tried to take Ty Harley with him to the Falcons because Ty Harley is such a cap guru. He tried to take Ty Harley with him, and the Saints just upped his salary to keep him in New Orleans. But Fondo tried to recruit him to go to Atlanta with him. But Ty Harley is the backbone. It's not Mickey Loomis, but Ty Harley is a cap guru for the Saints. But you know, if the story is true that he wants to be paid like a starting safety, then you kind of have to agree with the Saints. You can't pay a nickel corner the starting safety money.
No.
But at the same time, you still would like to get more for him in the trade, though. That's my ultimate grief. You know, you can't justify paying him starting safety money as a nickel corner. We all know that. But I still thought we could have got more value in a trade. And to me, that's where the frustration comes in.
Shout out to Naj for the PlayStation, taking the PlayStation to the pawn shop.
But he's right. The Saints do know how to manipulate the cap. I mean, they've been masters at it.
Yeah.
Ty Harley has been the guy doing it. I mean, they went into this season like $80 million over the cap, and then they somehow had $20 million spent by the time the free agency came around.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean,
I hate
good.
It, but
that's
they're
bullshit,
so good
man.
At it, man.
Yeah, okay. Hey, we're getting these last topics, so we definitely want to have JQ's conversation about Jimmy Buss.
talk about Russell Westbrook was the best player on the team last year. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about some surprise cuts because we got about 10 minutes to kind of before we wrap up the show. I'm going to throw out a couple of – Gary, I want you to kind of throw yours, if you will, and Rob, we'll talk about a couple of these, too. I think that's what we had for that. Just a couple of them that I had down as far as some surprise cuts. And this can be – you know, we're not going to pick on you too much. That was just a funny thing about the Cowboys not having a quarterback. But a couple ones, you know, Marlon Mack getting released by the Texans. Obviously, that means that, you know, Damian Pierce and Rex Burkhead are going to be, you know, obviously penciled in for the Texans. That's the last Texan notice.
Damian Pierce has been
show.
Impressive.
Impressive. We'll talk about another, you know, the Bucks, you know, obviously getting rid of DB Logan Ryan. That was interesting cut, you know, from that. That's because they were having problems with their secondary, so that's a surprising cut. I'm going to really briefly talk about O.J. Howard. He got signed by the Bills.
Yep.
They gave him a $3 million deal. And, you know, unfortunately, he just looks like he's kind of turned into a bust, man. It's kind of crazy how you thought that would be a great thing with him and Josh Allen. Just to do that,
well,
you know, Josh Gordon getting, you know, cut by the Chiefs. That's another quick pick. And then, like I said, those are the main ones that I was thinking about. Just, you know, Leatherwood, we already talked about Leatherwood getting cut. That was big by the Raiders. But, you know, just the situation, the Raiders have been a dumpster fire now. That whole backup, the back end with Mike Mayock, that was a disaster. So those are the main ones I wanted to highlight, if you will.
The NFL Network shouldn't even hire Mike Mayock to talk about the draft. And but he drafted so poorly for the Oakland Raiders. They should not even hire him back to talk about the draft. I know he was considered a draft guru for the NFL Network prior to him going to the Raiders.
God.
They shouldn't even hire him back. Man, he has been a dumpster fire drafting players. Alex Leatherwood, man, you give up on a guy in his second season, a first-round pick, that's unheard of. Normally you give those guys at least 3 years. And, man, they're cutting them already. That's got to be the biggest shocker. I think you were spot on with O.J. Howard. That was somewhat of a surprise. Sony Michel, maybe it's a little bit of
that's
a surprise.
Crazy.
Duke Johnson with Buffalo. Phillip Lindsay.
Yeah, so many cuts.
I thought he was going to be a backup change the pace for Jonathan Taylor. And so that was a little bit of a surprise to me, too. We already talked about Anthony Harris for the Eagles. We thought he was going to be one of their starting safeties, and they cut him. But I think Leatherwood still got to be the biggest surprise. First-round pick 2021. I mean, we all thought that was a reach when the Raiders took him. You know, he could have gone easily in the second or the third round. But still, did not think he was going to be out of an NFL team going into his second season in the league. That is a huge shocker, in my opinion.
The Bengals going to pick him up.
I mean, obviously there's something there. If you can get the right coach to get it out of him.
Yep.
You know, there's obviously something there from a talent perspective. You know, you just wonder what's going on between the years there. But there's obviously talent there.
Philip Lindsay, that's messed up that he was a 2018. Yeah, we talked about that, Nas. Yeah, you could add some more, too. That's just crazy that you talk about how bad he drafted. He pretty much was like the second coming of every Clemson player. You know, seems like just every pick went wrong. You know, Arnett, your Ruggs. I mean, just you can just name all the players, you know, for Clemson. It was just like, wow. And like you said, Rob, his reputation is like destroyed as a draft guru, if you will. Philip Lindsay getting cut too. That was a surprise, I would say, too. 2018 Pro Bowler, man. So that's just interesting. Obviously, he did well, but just just crazy. But do you have anything to add to that, Gary, Curtis, if you will?
Well, the only thing that I would say is to all these guys that are on that bubble every week, making the team, or these guys that are just in these last cuts, hold your head up high because you guys, you know, you're part of the best of the best. You might not have made that squad. You may make a practice squad here or there. Maybe you'll get another chance to make it in the league. But to see some of these guys that don't make it, and Curtis and I have seen quite a few of them that have been practice squad players and players that have just you know, been those players that just hung on in the league, you know, by the skin of their teeth. They're still phenomenal athletes. Hold your head up high.
Absolutely.
Not very many people get to this level. And you got to this level, and at least you had that chance. How many of those players in your conference and on your own teams have that ability to get that chance? You were the one that got that chance. Hold your head up high with that.
And, you know, some of these guys, are, at some point, if it's not this week or next week or middle of the season, some of these guys could be back on NFL rosters, right? Some of these guys that we just talked about are going to be on some teams' practice squads, right? So it's not the end of the day, as Gary just mentioned. Every team gets to keep 16 players now on a practice squad. So it's not the end of the day. And it used to be where you had to be a four-year vet or less to be on a practice squad, but now you can be on as a veteran too. So some of these guys will still have some jobs here shortly. Teams get to finalize their practice squads on tomorrow.
Gary came out here like Tony Robbins. Hold your head up high.
And look, people of a different era will understand this better than people of this internet age. But before the internet, and you had to get the paper for all information, you would get the paper and you would see who was cut. And anybody who was from your soil, from your backyard, you would kind of sigh and, damn, such and such got cut. Because you were rooting for that dude just because he was from your area as a sports fan. And these people got to understand there's a lot of people rooting for him. And now we got to get to the three things. First thing, was it political? Were you cut because coaches just didn't like you and you didn't fit a certain mold and they didn't mess with you? Or was it a numbers game where you just weren't good enough based on the talent that they had at certain positions? And then lastly, are you not an NFL player? Like, these are the things that people who get cut during this period kind of have to wrestle with, man. These are deep life questions. Should I go start selling insurance? Should I open this car lot? Like, these people got to think about this. Or should I stay in shape and try to – like, I'm being serious. Like, or should I start staying in shape like a team? Like, O.J. Howard, shout out to him. He could probably sell cars in Alabama, you know, for the rest of his life. But that last year, returning to Alabama, I wonder if he rethinks that. Because his draft position and how safe he would have been, you know, drafted a little higher, his career trajectory probably would have been a little different. As far as the little guy in Indianapolis, I didn't think that was a good fit anyway. I think you need a big back to back up Jonathan Taylor to kind of run that power zone scheme that you run. So I just didn't think that was a good fit anyway. So I don't know. I think his agent made a bad choice in putting him there. But, man, this is tough season.
Well, you know, we were watching this punt returner for the Colts, and they were talking about him, you know, it was late in the game. They're talking about him, you know, being one of these guys that's right on that bubble. So he catches the punt return, and his own man runs into him, knocks the ball out of his hands. And Curtis and I said, well, there goes his chance. And it's just those type of things that, you know.
Yeah.
Some unlucky thing like that. It's more like, oh, my God, I felt horrible for the guy.
Gotcha. Hey, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna get the we waited all show to have JQ on, so we're gonna let him do this comment, and then we're gonna briefly go into OT. We're gonna go through the college football predictions. So I want to hear everyone's thoughts on that, and then we'll wrap up the show. So if we can let JQ, it's 11:53. JQ, this is your moment. Jeannie Buss basically said Westbrook was our best player last year. Your comments.
Well, I don't know if everybody's watched Winning Time and saw how wild her dad, Dr. Jerry Buss, used to get down. But clearly she's got it in her bloodstream. Because, come on, Jeannie. Like, I get it. You're trying to make sure that you get some trade value out of this guy. That we all know he has zero trade value outside of a $47 million trade cap exemption for this next year to take that off the books. That's all you get. Stop trying to hype him up. Nobody believes that shit. You don't believe that shit. Stop it. He's done. And they made a mistake, but please stop talking about it like that. nobody wants to do other than the fact that if I take him and your two first-round picks, that means after this next year, I got $48 million I can spend on somebody else. That's all that's about. Don't let it go. And that's why I keep it. She was spoken with Snoop and Magic and whatever they was having happening down there at the forum or whatever get-together they had going on. That's a wild statement to make. Like, that's a statement. Like, did she call LeBron to say, listen, I'm just going to say this crazy shit. Don't you get mad, but I'm trying to do this for us. So you be cool and just go along with it. Like, she had to clear that with AD and LeBron just so she could say that out loud because that's an ass statement.
Yeah. I mean, you can't believe that after you pay LeBron 2 years, $97 million, he's like 48 years old. And so, I mean, you just pay the dude 2 years, $97 million, and then you're going to come out and say Westbrook is the best player on the team. I mean, come on, Bus. A lie doesn't care who tells it, right?
She's trying to get that dude off her team at all costs.
On the interview. So the reporter later on was like, damn, I should have asked a follow-up question of that. And he called her after the interview. And he said, okay, are you sure this is what you meant to say? So she clarifies and she says, no, I meant available to play. He started 78 games. So he was our most available player. So she softened it, but hell, the initial interview, you know what I mean? You already got the quote, so the quote is being ran with. But ultimately, I hate to be the guy to do this, but I'm a terrible guy anyway, so what does it matter? She's a nepotism hire. Why are we acting like Jenny Buss is a basketball guru? She's a nepotism hire. Yes, she's better than her brother, but what moves have the Lakers made in the past 3 years that haven't been clutch moves that have been good? Besides the clutch moves, what has she actually done to where she has this basketball reputation? Shout out to the great, Dr. Buss, but his kids are not him. I'm sorry. Like, I'm with JT on setting her on fire, too. So,
come on, Nod. You got to give him credit, man. They just signed to Patrick Beverly. They just paid it for
Stop
him, man.
Shit.
You got to give him credit.
Stop that shit.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Let's look, Gary.
Can you imagine if JQ, if you were wrong, and she didn't run that by, LeBron and Anthony Davis, and all of a sudden they see this on ESPN, I'd be calling her up and saying, you know what? Keep him. Trade us then. Get us the hell out of here.
No.
They probably see each other. This is the passive aggressive king. No, he wouldn't demand a trade. He would just do a million petty microaggressions to her to let her know that he was dissatisfied. LeBron don't directly confront you. This is just the passive aggressive. Never forget.
Listen, this is a PR move to try to bolster Russell Westbrook's trade value so they can get somebody a bag of chips and some Skittles for Russell Westbrook. This is what this is about. Don't get it twisted. This is preordained and planned. They're still trying to get Buddy Hield and Miles Turner for Indiana for him and two first-round picks. So, yeah, she's going to say all she got to say to get underneath that $47
million. What, they don't think Indiana got TV? They got a league, man.
Yeah. Have you been to Indiana? Indiana barely got TV and motorized vehicles.
Hey, Andre grew up there, man.
Listen, I'm from the neighborhood state over. Once you get outside of Indianapolis, ain't a whole lot happening instead of Indiana. Don't trip.
That's true.
Hey, man, you call somebody with that
office. Indianapolis, you know the nickname for Indianapolis Naptown. Everybody
don't call people with them disrespectful offers, man. They might fight you.
Yeah, but you know what they're trying to do, bro. They're just trying to boost his trade value. That's all that is.
Ladies and gentlemen, you all recognize the music. That is the end of the live portion of the show. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking sports with the 12th man. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. You can click on this same link to get the rest of the show for the rest of the week. I'm sure we got some exciting things to cover in our OT portion. We got our college football predictions in the OT portion. You definitely want to click on the same link to get these predictions. So, East Coast, next Tuesday night. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern time. That's going to be from Miami all the way up to Maine. Central time zone, it's going to be 10 p.m. Central. Those of you all in Jackson, Mississippi, I know I tease y'all a lot, but we're really praying for y'all in that situation there. Tighten up. Need a new governor in the state of Mississippi. Hopefully y'all can get one. But we're praying for y'all in the state of Mississippi and also Jackson. And the Mountain Time Zone, Denver, Salt Lake City. It's going to be 9 p.m. For those on the West Coast, California, Portland, Seattle, what it used to be Pac-12 conference is, that's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Make sure y'all tune in on next Tuesday night. Good night, people.
Wait, man, how you going to say, hey, join our show, and then send shots right to him? Hey, y'all tighten up. Used to be the Pac-12. I can't with you, bro. I appreciate y'all joining the show. I can't go Rob today, man. He is wildless.
Hey, that's what you want, man. You want to get callers
call in.
He told them to tighten up.
He didn't have asparagus today, man. He's a little off, man, so he gave us a run out of the venue, man. He didn't have asparagus, man. So that was probably the problem too, man.
Yeah, I had
so,
some of that Detroit deep dish pizza tonight.
Oh my God. Hey, let's really
okay.
Let's get through these really quickly, the picks, because I'm excited about college football. And some very interesting matchups here. So let's kind of go around the horn and let's make it as quick as possible and wrap up this edition of the show here. We're going to start off briefly with number 11, Oregon, at number 3, Georgia. So we know what JQ is praying and hoping for already, but I'm going to throw it to Gary and Curtis, your thoughts on this right out of the gate, what your thoughts are.
Well, Curtis and I went over this, and, of course, Curtis, he thinks the Ducks will be in it, but he's going with Georgia in this matchup. Me? I think, what the hell? I mean, if Jeannie Buss can say that Russell Westbrook was the best player on our team, I'm going with Oregon in the upset. I'm giving going to put all my paper jinx on them. I'm going to give JQ that victory. Georgia's going down.
Listen, I would wish for nothing better for that to happen. So I can laugh my motherfucking ass off. But we know that's not going to happen, bro. You know they're going to be Oregon, man. Stop it.
Hey, I agree. I would love to see Oregon win that game. But you know what? I think Oregon stays in this game close early. You know, Georgia has 10 starters coming back from the 22 starters there last year. But, I mean, let's face it. I mean, they're loaded. They have a lot of depth. The defensive, as good as their defensive line was last year, it might even be better this year. So that's scary when you look at the Georgia Bulldogs team. And I think Oregon hangs around first half, but I think in the end Georgia pulls it out. By at least 2 touchdowns, maybe 3.
There was a show, Ted Lasso, and
17.
One of the things he talks about is kind of pulling out different crazy plays. You got to pull some crazy plays like that to pull that one off. But like I said, we're looking forward to that. I think Oregon's going to be ready to play. Oregon will be ready. I agree with you, Rob. They're going to hang around, but you just wonder with the depth of Georgia, and they had all those 10 starters coming back. So it's going to be interesting. Let's talk about – we're going to give a shout-out to JQ again, number 23, Cincinnati, at number 19, Arkansas. Desmond Ridder is gone from Cincinnati. Who is the quarterback? How are they going to come back in? In this situation, go ahead, JQ.
Man, I have no idea. I keep trying to tell y'all, when I was growing up, Cincinnati football wasn't a damn thing. They lost the best class they've ever had in their lifetime at Cincinnati. They are going to lose this game to Arkansas. I'm sorry, I would love to. One of my homeboys is from Arkansas and loves Arkansas, but I can't even get how sick the Cincinnati's going to beat them. They had the best 4-year run for UC football they'll probably ever have and are having in the next 20 to 30 years. And I love Luke Fickell, but it's hard to recruit and keep that kind of momentum up at Cincinnati. Arkansas still plays in the SEC. They're still recruiting to try to beat those big dogs down there. They're going to beat Cincinnati, bro. 10 points.
Yeah. You know, Arkansas quarterback K.J. Jefferson, the poor man's Cam Newton. He's a big guy that can run. He's going to be hard to stop. Cincinnati lost Desmond Ridder. They also lost Sauce Gardner, a cornerback, top 5 pick in the NFL draft. Well, by the way, was impressive in the preseason. One of my top 5 rookies in the preseason. He was very impressive.
Yep.
KJ Jefferson is going to be hard to stop. And that offensive line that Arkansas has is one of the best in the SEC too. So you got that KJ Jefferson throwing the football as well as running the football. I like Arkansas in this game. Even though they're close in rank, I actually like Arkansas to win this game by at least 14 points at home. I think they're going to be too tough. But Cincinnati's got a new offensive coordinator too. Probably still going to be working on some kinks there. I like Arkansas and KJ Jefferson here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go look up that Alabama game and look up the average weight of the Cincinnati D-line, and you get an idea about what we're going to see. They're going to mash the boys in the face, and, yes, they will cover. It's going to be ugly.
Wow.
Curtis and I both pick Arkansas in this one, but we think it's going to be a fairly close game. I don't think it's going to be no two touchdowns.
We'll see. Love it. Let's wrap this up. We're going to do number 5, Notre Dame, at number 2, OH.
I-O, baby.
What you got, Jake? Yeah.
Really?
J.Q. Garrett.
Is that a real question?
Yeah. No,
that's
not a real question.
Listen, I think it's going to be a closer game than people think it is. I like Marcus Freeman, who's a good linebacker for Ohio State. So he's the head coach for Notre Dame. They got that tight end. He's a beast, calling baby Gronk. Until I see the new defensive coordinator, they've been raving about it, but it's one thing to do it in shoulder pads and shorts over the summer. I think Notre Dame is going to give them a good test. I really do. This might be actually a good Notre Dame team, not one of the ones they told us was good. They turned out to be sorry. So I still go take Ohio State at home and just shoot for sure. But it's not going to be no dog walk. I really don't believe that. I believe that offense is good enough to put 28, 35 points on a Notre Dame defense. I just don't know how good that Ohio State defense is against that Notre Dame offense until I see it on paper. So I think it's a 7-point game. I think they barely cover, but I think Ohio State wins.
No, I definitely like Ohio State in this game, too. Ohio State might have the best quarterback wide receiver tandem in the country. Going to the season right here, and it's going to be tough to stop. It's going to be tough for a lot of teams to stop, right? And I think they have a legitimate chance of winning the national championship too. So I think I think they win this game by at least 10 to 14 points over Notre Dame at home. And Notre Dame definitely will be competitive much of the year. Marcus Freeman, I think, is going to do a phenomenal job there too. But, I don't think they win this game at all against Ohio State.
Well, with this particular game, I think the Buckeyes of the top 10 schools right now are the most overrated of those schools. And I think Notre Dame is going to go in there, and they're going to kick the shit out of them, and they're going to beat them by probably – at least 10 points. They're going in. To Andre. No, we're both. No, Curtis and I are both picking the Buckeyes.
I knew he was pulling everybody's leg.
I was about to say, man, open the app. Get that bet in, man. That's too much money to leave on the table. You got to take it if you believe
it. I want to see JQ's face. JQ should be on camera for that one. But I knew he was pulling your leg.
JQ's trying to be nice. This is a beat them down. They will cover. They're going to beat them down, and Notre Dame will remember, this is why we don't schedule top teams early on in the season and try to skate with an easy schedule and get in the playoff. This is why we don't typically do this. So, yeah, Notre Dame about to get the brakes beat off.
I hope you're right.
Wow.
Y'all know JQ, guy. He's got something against these Catholic schools, man. So,
man, don't start. Man, don't start that. Don't put that out there in the atmosphere. Don't put that in there, Mr. Right. Hey, listen, I believe in the Lord, too.
This man did leave him in the middle of the night to go to LSU because he said at a certain point there's a ceiling on this program. Let me go down here and get these, as Barkley would say, athletes and win at LSU. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it is what it is, man.
Yeah, Brian Kelly. He's close to having a number one recruiting class at LSU in 2023. He's right near the top. So we'll see what he does this year, but he's already kicking butt for the 2023 recruiting class.
There it is. Hey, we appreciate what a great opportunity to be back and do the show. I just want to give a quick shout-out to Serena Williams last night to, and her win in the U.S. Open, too. So that was pretty impressive.
Yeah. You don't stop
She's going to go on top. She's the GOAT. You know, what? I'll take you what? I'm looking at the picture, man. It's all good.
Why are we getting excited about Serena Williams winning the first-round match? We got to stop this. If she's the GOAT, we can't get this excited about a first-round match. Now, she's losing in the round of 16 to make it a little further. No, man, listen, I expect this from her. If she's the GOAT, I get it. But if she said this is her last hurrah, she's the GOAT, she's supposed to come out there and do what she did in the first round. I reserve judgment.
Yeah, but her competition has wristbands on in the club. Like, those are young people, man. She fought it. Like,
listen.
It's an accomplishment, man. It is. I'm sorry.
Come on.
Is.
Y'all, come on, man. Y'all stop that, man. There's no other GOAT. In any other sport, we would say, man, you know what? They won their first round thing. We'd be looking like, man, really? That's what they're supposed to do. So, listen, Serena's the GOAT, and I believe that. But I'm just not going to get up and, you know, start hemming and hawing and yelling and clapping and going and give me some beads put in my hair, you know, to mimic Serena because she won a first-round match. Like, I mean, like let's be cool about it. You know, she wins a couple of them, then come on.
Y'all pay to see that. She's probably dying in the kitchen in her hair. Like, the back of her hair, that's probably a little gray there. She got to dye it every week. Like, come on, dude. She old as hell. Like, that's an accomplishment,
I get
man.
That. But you, okay, so this is what I'll say before let's go. She knew, how long ago did you think she knew that this U.S. Open was going to be probably her last hurrah? I would say it's been probably at least 6 months, probably closer to a year, where she looked at it and says, you know what, I got this, this is happening, this is going to be my last one. So if you're the GOAT and you know that, you better freaking come out there and prepare for that to be your last thing. And she looked good, don't get me wrong, but it's the first round, man. Like, I'm just, the fanfare for a first round victory just seems over the top. Like, she broke her ankle or like she came back from like a debilitating car accident. If that happened, then yes, I'm with it. But she's still been out there playing, man. She's a GOAT. She's supposed to win in the first round. Supposed to.
Yeah, and I don't know why y'all believe that she's going to retire. As they always say, legends never can walk away from the roar of the crowd. Man, she's going to piece this out and try to come back for different majors and try to get one so she can get that record. Man, she ain't retiring. Please believe it. She's coming back.
Well,
win or lose.
I'll give you that. That could be true.
All right. Well, that could be true, but it's like this, you know, when Jordan was, you know, playing and retired from the Bulls, you know, that last of the season, you know, before he went into baseball or whatever it was, you know, if he was in your town playing your team, guess what you did? Those arenas were just stuffed full of people and they wanted to see him play. That's the same way with Serena.
Agreed.
I'm not surprised that she's filling stadiums. Those two girls, you know, they played smash mouth tennis, both of them, and she is, definitely undisputed the GOAT in women's tennis. Maybe the GOAT in tennis. That's right.
Whoa.
Look at that record of hers: 856 wins, 154 losses in her career. You know, 4 gold medals, you know, 23 grand slams. She's in the conversation at least for the GOAT in tennis.
Oh. All right, we're going to have to.
Man, you're lucky the things I would say would get me excommunicated from the black community and black women wouldn't mess with me no more, so I can't say what I need to say. So I'm going to be quiet.
Yeah, say don't do it. Don't you do it.
Don't do it, Dodge. Don't do it, Nodge. We need you, bro. We need you, man. We need you for this show. All right, well, like I said, again, on that note, we're gonna drop the mic for Gary. I was gonna let you have a last comment, but we're gonna drop the mic for that, man. So again, save that for next week. Rob, we appreciate you putting together the topic. Naj, we always appreciate you joining in. Gary, Curtis, we appreciate all you're doing over there, taking care of my Curtis. We appreciate all your insight and everything like that too. So and JQ, it's always a pleasure to have you on, man, to bring some fire to the show. Rob, thank you, man. Again, have a fantastic, fantastic week. You know, again, we're excited about Labor Day, so get some rest. We're going to be watching college football, and it's going to be a great week. So,
hey, shout out to Andre for pulling off the Bill Belichick short sleeve. Shout out to Dre. Ladies and gentlemen.
It was Turk Day.
The short sleeve hoodie to Dre. Mm-hmm. My son loves those things,
too.
I
saw it, right. I was like, man, I got to wear it tonight, man, because I just had to pull it off, man. So I appreciate that.
Hey, our last fantasy draft.
That man just
night,
got
people,
fleas
so
all
listening.
Over his house.
I can't with you, Naj, right now. You my boy, man. That's all good.
Cut him off.
I'm walking. Yeah, this is actually a shirt, but yeah, the original, they're definitely cut off for sure. Go ahead, Rob. Finish your thought, man.
No, I was just saying, last fantasy football draft for all of our players in the last league is draft Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, two nights before NFL kickoff. So we look forward to that.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to that sucker that was drafting two quarterbacks and back to back. What the hell? What?
Oh, man.
Of course.
First
I think he was dropping F bomb. What the fuck? I was like, oh, man.
And be nice to your friends who draft Sony Michel and O.J. Howard. They got kids, man. They ain't got time to keep up. They don't know no better. Just beat them down in the league and laugh at them.
All right, gentlemen. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you same time, same channel next week. Be good, fellas.
Good night, y'all.
Thanks, guys. Good night.
Good night.
All right, y'all.